You would open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews, the first chapter. I remember Brother Eric Floyd, who's preaching in Wheelersburg this morning. Pray the Lord bless him in preaching. Probably everybody knows this. In case you do not, these are the arrangements for Ben Thompson. The visitation will be tomorrow from 5 to 8 p.m. The funeral will be 1 p.m. on Tuesday. And that will be at the Steens on 13th Street. We want to remember that family in this very, very difficult time. All right, Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness, and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? All right, let's stand together as Chris is going to come lead us in our call to worship. He graciously has volunteered to lead the singing, so you don't have to be led by me in singing. So let's stand together and sing.
I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. Though a friend spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree, Jehovah said, it meant nothing to me. Grace awoke me, my life from on high, when lingering feet to yon temple to die. No refuge, no safety, myself could I see. Jehovah said, Can you, my Savior, must be. Before his sweet name, my guilty fear vanished with boldness. I came to drink at the fountain, life given and free. Jehovah said, Can is all thanks to me.
Be seated now, and if you would, at this time, take your hymnal and turn it to page 256. It is Well With My Soul, 256.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billow roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, thy sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my flesh shall be sighed. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The Lord shall resound, and the Lord shall be sent. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
All right, let's open our Bibles now to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians, the first chapter. We'll begin our reading in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he's the head of the body, the church. who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. We'll end our reading there. Let's bow together. Our Father, we bow before you. We bow before your throne as your children, as your little children. And how thankful we are that sinful men and women like us can come before your throne and call the God of all glory our Father. Because of your adopting love, your regenerating power and love, you've made us your children. And Father, we're thankful. How we thank you for everything that you've given us in the Lord Jesus Christ, that in him we have everything. Everything that we need to stand holy and unblameable and unreprovable in your sight. Father, how we thank you. How we thank you for the redemption that's full and free in our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that this morning you enable us to magnify the name of your Son, that you enable us to magnify and exalt the name of our Savior, that he get all the glory, that he have all the preeminence and everything that's said and done in our singing, in our prayers, and especially in the preaching of the gospel, and in the minds and the hearts of all that are gathered here. May Christ be preeminent, that we fully and completely trust him as our all and in all. Father, it's a great blessing, we ask. We recognize this is such a great blessing, but how thankful we are that your grace is great, that you're rich in mercy unto all that call upon you. And Father, we're calling. We're begging for mercy and grace from the God of all grace this morning. Father, we pray you'd bless us in our worship. We pray you'd bless Eric as he's preaching in Wheelersburg and your people everywhere who are meeting right now. Father, bless your word in this dark, dark day. Cause your gospel, the light of it, to shine forth in our day, that there might be a revival in our day, like has been in days past, that where you call out your people in a marvelous, marvelous way. Father, we dare not sin against you in forgetting to pray for your people, especially those that are in such trouble, heartache, and sickness, those who need you especially. We pray a special blessing for the Thompson family at this time of sorrow and loss, that, Father, you'd comfort their hearts, that you'd be with them, that you'd cause them to find their rest and hope and peace by looking past this veil of tears and looking to Christ. Father, you might take them up in your arms and comfort them as only you can. Father, we thank you for bringing so many of our brethren back to us who have been sick and hurting. Pray you continue to be with your people. All these things we ask in that name which is above every name, the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God, though dark my road, he holds me.
Open our Bibles again now to Colossians chapter 1. I've titled the message this morning, A Description of the Redeemer. It's my prayer this morning that we see such a clear description of the Redeemer that those of you who are here who do not believe in Him might see Him, that you might be so overwhelmed with His glory that you trust Him, that you come to Him and that you trust Him. And I want us to see this description of Christ so that you who do believe will find your joy and your comfort and strength in your heart by trusting Him, trusting your soul to Him. Now, all throughout Scripture, I touched on this Wednesday night, all throughout Scripture, we're told to look to Christ. And when our Lord was talking to Nicodemus, He explained what that look is. It's to believe. We're told all through Scripture to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust all of your salvation to Him and Him alone. You know, that's the reason that we preach Christ. We only preach Christ so that His people will trust Him, so that they'll know Him and that they'll trust Him. Well, this might be a fair question asked by someone that doesn't know the Lord. What is it that makes the Lord Jesus Christ so special that I should trust Him alone? What about Him is so special? Well, the answer is because of who He is. And the whole Bible is written to tell us who Christ is. That's the subject of every line of Scripture, to tell us who Christ is. The whole Bible is written to show us the glory of Christ, His sufficiency. He's sufficient. He's all you need. That's why you should trust Him. The whole Bible is written to show us He's trustworthy. And when you see Christ and you know Him, you'll trust Him. You won't be able to trust Him, but you want to. I mean, you'll be glad to trust all of your soul to Him. And I can't tell you all who the Lord Jesus Christ is. I can't tell you the description of Him from the whole Bible in one sitting or in one lifetime. But in our text this morning, I see four descriptions of the Savior given. And if we'll see him, if we'll see these descriptions, understand who he is, I'm confident of this. We'll trust him. Now, the first thing is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. It's not like he's God. He's not some special, you know, weird manifestation of God. He is God. Look at verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God. Now, when Paul says here he's the image of the invisible God, he means that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. The Lord Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, is God in a human body. He's completely man and he's completely God. Two natures in one body, in one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over at verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Everything that God is fully dwells in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, he's full. He's full of righteousness. He's full of holiness. So that is all he is. He's full of grace. He's full of truth. He is full of God's love. He is full of God's power. He is God. Now, he is full of everything that we need. We need righteousness. Christ is full of it. We need mercy and grace. He's the fullness. It's full in him. We need forgiveness. The fullness of that's all in him. We need power, untold power to put away our sin, to pay for our sin. He's full of power. Now, since everything we need is in Christ, he's the fullness of it, where do you reckon you ought to go to get what you need? Go to Christ. Go to him. He's the fullness of everything that you need. Trust him to have the power and the mercy and the righteousness and the holiness and the compassion to save you. Trust him. The Lord Jesus Christ is fully God. He's fully God. And you know he is the only sight of God we'll ever have. He's God in a body. And that's the body. That's the person that we'll see in glory. Now, believers see Christ by faith. There we're going to see him face to face. There's one God. We're going to see one God in glory. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only vision of God that we'll ever have. Now, since the Lord Jesus Christ is God, there's several things that are true. First of all, he's to be worshipped. You can only worship God. If you worship anything else, you're worshiping an idol. Well, since he's God, the Lord Jesus Christ is to be worshiped. I know that Christ is the friend of sinners. But our Savior is not a buddy to be joked around with. He's God to be worshiped. The Savior is not our equal. We can decide to accept him or reject him. You know, we can do some things on our own and then we find ourselves in trouble. Just like pulling out your lucky rabbit's foot and rubbing it, you know, and getting some help, you know, along the way. He's not our equal that we can decide to accept him or to reject him. He's to be bowed to. He's to be obeyed. He's to be trusted at all times. He is the one against whom we've sinned. I mean, we've sinned against him. He is the one we are to beg for mercy. He's God. Since the Lord Jesus Christ is God, he's to be believed. You know, if I tell somebody something and they say, I don't believe you, that hurts my feelings. You know, they think, well, you think I'm lying to you? You think I'm not trustworthy? You know, not being honest with you? The Lord Jesus Christ is God. So he's to be believed. God cannot lie. Does anybody doubt that? God cannot lie. Then why don't we trust him? Huh? Why don't we trust him? Why don't we trust him to do what he said he'd do? And this is what he said he'd do. He's going to save sinners in a way that completely delivers the sinner from their sin, completely delivers them from the penalty of sin, all while God satisfies his holiness and his justice. Now, why don't we believe him? Why don't we trust him? He can't lie. Since the Lord Jesus Christ is God, he's to be trusted to save our sinful souls. If he's God, he's got all power, doesn't he? then he's got the power that it takes to save me. He's got the power to put my sin away. We can trust him. He's got the power to do what he said he'd do. We don't understand it. We don't understand how it can be done, but we don't have to. Just trust him. He cannot lie. He's got the power. He'll do what he said he'd do. And every attribute of God is most clearly seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the invisible characteristics of God are seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know God is love, don't we? You know where that love is seen? Most clearly it's seen in the Lord Jesus Christ when God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. You want to see the love of God? Look to Christ. It's all there. We know God is merciful and gracious. Well, grace and mercy and truth all came by Jesus Christ. You want to see God's grace? You want to see God's mercy? Look how he punished his Son to save his people. Oh. In Christ, we see the justice and the holiness of God. You look to Calvary. Is there any doubt God's just? The Father made his Son sin for his people. The Father spoke from heaven and said, I love my Son. I'm pleased with him. He never did that by anybody else. And he was made sin. What did he do? He wouldn't spare him. He slaughtered him. Because that's what justice demanded. That's the only way God's people could go free. That's the only way God's elect could have mercy and grace, is for through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God died to put away the sin of his people. Is there any doubt he did it? Can God fail? Oh, he did it. That's so glorious. I'm so thankful to trust all my soul to him. Aren't you? He's God. Second, the Lord Jesus Christ is King. At the end of verse 15, it says, the firstborn of every creature. Now, you know in the days of the Old Testament, the firstborn inherited the birthright. The firstborn inherited the leadership of the family. He got the lion's share of the inheritance from his father. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the firstborn. He's the only begotten of the Father. And since he's the firstborn, that means that the Lord Jesus Christ is King and he's ruler. Like I said a minute ago, he's King. He inherited everything. He's the King, the firstborn. So he has the right to forgive sin. He has the right and the power to put away the sin of his people. Since the Lord Jesus Christ is King, he has the right to have mercy on whom he will have mercy. He has the right to be gracious to whom he will be gracious. He's not being unfair. He has the right to be merciful to whom he will be merciful. And thank God he's chosen to be merciful. That mercy is all I need. I'm so thankful to trust that to him. The firstborn is King, and the firstborn also inherited everything. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the Father, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And since the Lord Jesus Christ is the firstborn, he's the heir of everything that the Father has. Now, what is it that the Father has? God the Father. What is it that he has? Everything, isn't it? Everything. The cattle on a thousand hills are his. Everything belongs to him. It's all his. And the Father put all of that into the hand of his Son, so that he could give eternal life to as many as the Father had given him. He inherited it. The Father gave it to him because it's right. He's the first begotten of the Father, the only begotten of the Father. On top of that, Christ earned the right to have everything. He earned the right to have everything in creation by his obedience and by his death that satisfied the justice of his Father. By his blood, he bought the right to own everything. It's doubly his. He inherited it because he's the only son. He bought it by his blood and by his obedience. Now, Scripture, it all belongs to Christ. And here's the amazing thing in God's mercy and grace. You know what Scripture calls God's elect, those that believe Christ? Joint heirs. Joint heirs with Christ. That means that the believer has everything that Christ has. Now please the Father, all fullness dwell in him. Everything God has, it's all in Christ. Everything God has, he gave to him by inheritance. Everything God has, he gave to the Son because he bought it. He earned it. It's all in Christ. Every spiritual blessing is in Christ. Matter of fact, every physical blessing, every physical thing, it all belongs to him. I don't know what the Lord would be pleased to do physically. What he might give us, what he might not, to, you know, when someone's sick. I pray, Lord, heal him. I do. I pray because I know he's got the power to do it. I don't know if he will or not. I mean, I don't know if he'll be pleased. I mean, he can. It's his to give. It's his to withhold. Somebody doesn't have a job and, you know, they're not able to pay the light bill and the gas bill and not have enough food to eat. I mean, yeah, we would help them. We pray, Lord, give them a job. I don't know if the Lord would do that or not. I simply do not know what the Lord will be pleased to do. But this I know. Our God is pleased to give every spiritual blessing he has to every one of his children. I know he's pleased to do that. And I pray that God save his people and he give them all these blessings. He give them life in Christ. That he forgive their sin for Christ's sake. That he make them righteous in Christ. I promise you this. Lord will do it. Because he's made his people joint heirs with Christ. So that by God's grace, by him joining his people to Christ, he makes it right for them to have everything Christ has. If mom don't spend everything you got, whatever you give me as an inheritance, belongs to Janet too. We're one. I mean, there's no difference between me and her. She's joined to me. Everything Christ has is yours if you're joined to him. Oh my goodness sakes. I mean, just think of the... I can do without a lot of stuff physically, fleshly, can't you? I can't do without anything in Christ. And to think I have it all in him, that thrills my soul to think God would do that for the likes of me. Not because of anything I've done, but because of who Christ is. See that? That's why we trust him, because of who he is. He's the heir. He's the heir. And it's ours because we're joint heirs with him. All right, thirdly, this is a good reason to trust the Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator. Verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Now, Scripture can't make this more plain. It's God the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the Word of God. Christ is the one who spoke everything into existence in Genesis chapter 1. By him were all things created. By him. He did. Everything that is in existence in this universe was created by the power of the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Space was just a vast emptiness. Not one blessed thing in it. And he spoke and things started appearing. He didn't take his hands and make something. He just spoke. And it appeared out of thin air. It was created. Matter was created at the power of his word. Don't you ever buy into this notion that scientists try to tell you. That things evolved. That something evolved into something totally different over the course of time. Never happened. Never happened. God created everything by the power of his word. God never took something in existence and remodeled it into something else. You know, when we build a house, you go buy wood and whatever else it is you buy, nails and things, and you take what exists and you make it into something else. That's not creation, that's building. God created. He created something from nothing. Everything in creation got its substance, its existence, when God spoke it into existence. Before that, there was nothing, just empty space. Now, why do we make such a big deal of that? Why is it that God, being the Creator, and God creating everything from nothing. Why is that such an important point that we just hammer on? I guess it's in, maybe I shouldn't say things I don't know for sure are true, but I think I've heard that it's like that a lot of states won't let teachers teach the story of creation from the Bible, that you absolutely have to teach evolution stuff. Don't you kids buy it? Don't you buy it? It's a lie. It's a lie that's made up by blind people. But now, why is that so important? Let me give you two things. Number one, it's important because God says so. That's enough, isn't it? God says so. We're not going to bend on it. We're not going to compromise on it. But it's also, secondly, important for us to believe that God is the creator, because creation is a picture of God's salvation, of how God saves his people. You'll notice that it says here that all things were created by him and for him. For him. You know why God created this world? You know why he spoke it all into existence? He knew Adam was going to fall. He knew Adam was going to mess it all up. He knew how horrible the world was going to turn into all these years later. He knew man was just going to keep finding more and more and more ways to display his horrible sinfulness. He knew man was never going to get any better. He knew man was going further and further and further away from God. God knew that before he created anything. You know why he created anyway? For him. For the glory of his son. So that his son would save a people out of Adam's fallen race and do something that's so marvelous in our eyes, human language can't explain it. That's why God created everything. It's for his son. So his son could get to glory in saving his people out of him. And creation's a picture of that. Remember, when God created the heavens and the earth, he didn't take something that existed and repurpose it. You can tell I've heard Janet watching her shows on HGTV. He didn't repurpose it. He didn't repurpose it. He created it from nothing. And God uses that very same power of creation when he saves his people. He creates a new man who never was there before. There's nothing. There, in God's people, there's nothing for God to work with. There's no righteousness. There's no goodness. There's no life. There's nothing solid. All it is sinking sand. It's the mire and muck of Adam's sin. There's nothing there for God to work with. And that's just fine. He don't need nothing. By the power of his word, God doesn't remodel his people into a new man. God doesn't remodel his people into somehow the flesh has some sort of light and life. And no, when Adam died, the flesh died. God doesn't remodel his people because there's nothing there to work with. God speaks and creates a new man who never existed before. And since that's true, quit trying to make yourself more savable by your works. Now, I know what I'm talking about here. Quit trying to make yourself more savable, thinking, well, I'm going to make myself more savable, and then I'm going to ask God to save me. No, sir, don't do that. That's trying to give God something to work with. Quit trying to make yourself more savable. Quit trying to make yourself more acceptable before you ask God to save you. God doesn't need anything in you to work with. Just come ask God for mercy. Just come ask God to give you life. God doesn't need anything in you to work with, and he won't accept it either. Just leave whatever it is you think that you've done good that might make you more acceptable and leave it at home and come to God naked in your filth. Don't even try to wash up. Just come in your nakedness and your filth and your need and your stench and your and everything that sin is, and come to God begging for mercy. Come to God begging for life. God will never accept our works, but he'll accept his son. He'll accept the work of his son. Then come to God in faith, believing Christ is all you need. Ask in mercy for Christ's sake. If God, and he does, has the power to speak this creation into existence from nothing, I'm real sure of this. He has the power to speak and create a new man in me and in you. I'm just confident of that. And that gives me such comfort, such confidence to trust God, to trust Christ, to be my Savior, and trust him to do all the saving. Trust him to do it all. That gives me the confidence to trust Christ and then to keep trusting him. Don't just trust him and go on your merry way and forget about it. No, trust him and keep trusting. Don't trust Christ and then think you're going to improve things by your works. Trust Christ and keep trusting Him alone. Trust Him to save you and to keep you saved. Because look what He says in verse 17. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Now God created this world, and He created everything in it. And He's the one that holds it all together. How can a ball, many balls actually, hang in space on nothing and not just careen into each other? How is it that the ball of Earth can stay close enough to the sun to keep us warm and not so close we burn up? How's that possible? How's it possible that the Earth doesn't just fall apart? How is it the ball just doesn't fall apart? Everything is held together by Him, by Christ. It's all held together. And listen to me. Everything that happens in this creation, everything happens by His will. He holds it together. He purposes it. If He doesn't purpose it, it won't happen. Now, I can't explain why God does what He does. I can't explain everything that happens in this creation. Things that are evil, things that cause us such grief and sorrow. I cannot explain it. But I do know this. God did it. It's not an accident. God did it. That applies to principalities and powers. They're all there by God's doing, by His will. They're there by that's political rulers of the earth. You know, those rulers are there in power by God's appointment. I watch the news and I see about different rulers all around the world. And boy, I'd like to go pluck them out and put somebody else in, wouldn't you? But I can't do that. And you know why that fellow's there? God put him there. They might have their finger on a nuclear button. Don't make me all that comfortable, but God put him there. God put them there. That applies to our political rulers. And we need to remember that. Unless they come telling us what we can and cannot preach, just obey them. Just be a good citizen. To expect them to do anything real wise and just, you know, in agreement with the sense of morality and right and wrong that we get from this book is not going to happen, more than likely. Unless they tell us what to preach or what don't, just obey them. To disobey them is to disobey God's authority, because God's the one that put them there. God's the one that put them there. Just pray for our leaders. Pray God give them wisdom that they don't have, because you can rest assured of this, they need it. But I'm saying that just to say this. Don't get overly concerned about how this world and this country is being governed and run. Be a good citizen, you know, be a good citizen. But don't spend too much time railing on what they're doing. People have always done wrong, and they always will do wrong. Just remember this, everything that's happening is happening according to the will of our God. I mean, you just say that's God's will. And also remember this, a believer doesn't have citizenship in this world anyway. We're looking for a country, a better country, a heavenly country. We're going home. The believer just passing through this place. We're going home. Let the people of this world take care of this world. Let the people that God puts in authority over this world take care of it. And let's look at going home. Because while we're passing through this place, God's the one that's holding it all together. And here's why that's so important. It's a picture of salvation. Christ, our Creator, has the power to hold a ball in space with no visible means of support. And there it stays. There it stays in its orbit. God put a sun. There it stays. I mean, all the planets. If He's got the power to do that, and He showed He's got the power to save His people from their sins, He got the power to make you believe what the flesh cannot believe. I believe He's got the power to keep us saved, don't you? He doesn't need our works, just like He doesn't need something for us to some good works and some goodness in us for Him to work with in order to make a new man. God doesn't need anything to work with from us in order to keep us saved either. Since that's true, quit. Quit trying to make yourself better. Quit trying to make yourself more accepted. Listen, because even believers fall into this. Quit trying to make yourself more accepted. Quit trying to make yourself more likely to be blessed because you've done all these good works. And remember this, the Savior doesn't need our help. The Creator doesn't need our help. Just rest in Christ. Just rest in Christ. The Savior doesn't need us to do something to make ourselves more acceptable. More acceptable than our brethren, other believers. I'm talking about believers now. The Savior doesn't need our help. How are we accepted? In the Beloved. In the Beloved. The Savior doesn't need our help in holding this creation together, and He don't need our help in holding His church and His people together either. He's going to save them and keep them saved by His power. And that makes me so glad. Just rest in Christ. Just rest and not worry. Isn't that glorious? That's so glorious. And here's the fourth thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Verse 18. And He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Now Christ is the head. He's the head of the church, and Scripture describes His people as His body. Now I know it's a mystical body in the sense that it's a spiritual thing that we can't see with fleshly eyes. But really it's not all that mystical. Not if you have faith in Christ. You see, He's the head and we're the body. The body gets everything from the head. The brain is in the head. The control center of the body is in the head. You know, you don't actively think, I got to breathe in and out. I got to breathe in and out. I got to breathe in. No, your body just does it because your brain just tells everything that has to happen for your lungs to take in a breath of air and push it out. The control center just does that. The brain tells the body when to move, when to do everything, how to do everything. The body can't do anything unless the brain's working properly. Well, the believer's control center is Christ our head. He's the head. We come to Christ by His power. When He says come, we come. We have faith in Christ by His power. We try and try and try to believe, and we can't make ourselves believe. And when He says believe, we believe. And we can't quit believing. We even rest in Christ by His power. It takes His power to make us rest. We keep trying to work and work and work and work, and we can't have rest till He says, peace be still. And He gives us rest. He gives us His rest. We finally see we can rest from our works like He did from His because He finished the work. There's nothing left for me. I rest. But I can't do that till He speaks to me and says, rest. We worship by the power of Christ. We can't worship unless Christ comes and gives us the power, the ability to worship. When I think about preaching, I think of this all the time. Who's sufficient for these things? Well, that doesn't just apply to the preacher. It applies to those who listen too. Who's sufficient for these? Who's sufficient to hear? Who's sufficient? Nobody. Not unless Christ our head gives us the power to do it. See, the body gets everything from the head. And you think of the joy of getting everything that you need from Christ your head. That just gives us rest, doesn't it? Such rest. I don't have to get anything from myself, from my works, from anything about me. It all comes from Christ. Then a body is identified by its head. You know who somebody is, but when you look at their face, the believer is identified by Christ our head. We're called by His name. The body is called by the name of the head. This is the name wherewith she shall be called. Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord, our righteousness. You think what a blessing it is to be called by the name of Christ instead of the worthless name of Adam. To be known by His name. And the body is made just like the head. Whatever the head does, the body does. You know why the body's living? Because the head's living. Our Lord said, "You, because I live, you live also." The body does everything the head does. When Christ obeyed the law, so did the body. When he established a perfect righteousness, so did the body. When Christ our head died to satisfy the law, to satisfy the justice of the law, the body did too. See, because I'm joined to Christ, I'm free from death. I'm free from the penalty of the law. The head suffered it. And when the head suffered it, the body did too. We suffered it in Christ. When Christ arose from the grave, so did the body. The Lord Jesus Christ is the first one to rise from the dead by his own power, never to die again. And you, the body, will too. Everybody in the body must rise again. They must rise again spiritually. They must be given spiritual, eternal life and the new birth. And they must rise again from the grave. Now that gives me confidence. That gives me confidence to rest in Christ. He's the one that gives me life. He is my life. I get it from him. And when the time comes for me to lay down on my deathbed, I can't tell you how many deathbeds that I've stood by. Someday, somebody, you are going to stand by my deathbed. And when that time comes, this is the confidence and the peace that I have. Knowing that time's coming, this is the confidence that I have. All I'm going to do is go be with the Lord. You're going to put this body in the grave, and it's just going to wait there till he returns and calls it out of the grave. It's just resting, just waiting for his return. The body will be there in the grave. I'll be with the Lord. To quote a great American, I'll be doing handsprings and rejoicing. I'm sorry y'all had to stay, but I'll be with him. See, God did this. This salvation's of the Lord. He did it all through his son so that his son would have the preeminence in everything. Christ is all. He's all. He has all the preeminence. That means he's the most important person. He's the most important thing in everything. Christ has the most important place, the preeminence in the gospel. Because he's all of it. I mean, the gospel is not just about Christ. The gospel is Christ. It's nothing but Christ. Anything else is not true. It's not the gospel. Christ has the most important place in righteousness. He is our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. None of my righteousness comes from my works. It's all Christ. Christ has the most important place in holiness. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, holiness. He is our holiness. He has the most important place in forgiveness, the forgiveness of our sins. Where's it found? It's all in him. It's all because of him. Christ has the most important place in the thought and the mind of the believer because Christ is all. He's all my salvation. He's all I need. And knowing Christ, this is why I want to give you these descriptions of the Redeemer, so that you'll know him. This is who he is. And knowing who Christ is just thrills me. The thought of leaving all in the hand of Christ and leaving none of it in my hand. Nothing for me to do. Nothing based upon my works of the law. Nothing based upon all my religious activity. But leave it all in Christ's hands. Because he has the preeminence. That just thrills me to think I can leave it all in him. Because listen, I leave it all the responsibility to Christ the Redeemer. It's the Father's will. He have all the preeminence. He have all the glory. Now and in eternity. And when the day of judgment comes, that last trumpet sounds, and Christ returns, he judges the earth and takes his people to glory and presents them to the Father. Father, here are the children. I and the children that you've given me. And the Father says, come on in. Earl, if there's one empty seat, if there's one empty place, Christ has lost all the glory. He lost the preeminence. He lost one that the Father gave him. He died for one who went to hell anyway, was condemned anyway. Christ's suffering for them was not enough to satisfy God's justice. He lost one. Well, 99.99999% is pretty good, but not for the perfect redeemer, it's not. No, if he loses one, he loses all the preeminence. And he's not about to do that. See, the Father's will be done. And this is the Father's will, that Christ have all the preeminence. So when everything is done, this whole shooting match is done, you know what's going to happen? Everyone the Father gave to the Son to save is going to appear in glory. Every last one of them. It's not possible that one would perish. Woo! I like a sure thing. I like a sure thing. To be able to rest in Christ gives absolute peace and confidence to the heart. I pray God will make that so with you and me. Let's bow together. Our Father, how we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you for your will of redemption, that it's all in him. What a redeemer we have. What a savior. Father, I pray that you would give us, each one of us, the faith to believe him. He's trustworthy. Make us trust him. He is cannot lie. Make us believe him. Cast all of our soul on him and to rest in him and him alone. It's in his precious name. For his glory we pray. Amen. All right, Chris.
All right, in closing, if you would take your hymnal and turn it to page 442, and we'll be standing as we sing, Praise Him, Praise Him.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangel in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrow. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portal, loud with Hosanna ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.